The end of that gospel passage is a great setup for some mother-in-law joke. And some people may say, well, Father, you can't really make a joke about that because you've never lived with a mother-in-law. So how would you be able to make a joke on that? Well, all I got to say is, no, I haven't had a mother-in-law, but I have had to deal with church's lady sodalities before. There's a line in this gospel that would be very easy for us to sort of pass over. And maybe it's because it's a difficult thing that Jesus says that we don't understand. Maybe it's because it runs contrary to other images of Jesus that we have in our head. Maybe it's just because it's kind of a dreary, rainy Sunday morning and we weren't even really paying much attention to the gospel passage. But it's this. Jesus says, "Do you think that I have come to establish peace on the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division." What could he mean by that? We even use the title Prince of Peace when we speak about Jesus. That title is used particularly around Christmas time. We think of Jesus as one who brings peace. But he's telling us in this passage he's coming to bring division. What are we to think about this? What strikes me about it is that Jesus is saying that we have to make a choice. We have to make a choice to follow him. A choice to be his disciple. A choice when we call him Lord and Savior, that means something. And that choice to do that means that there are going to be certain choices that we make in our life that reflect that decision. And that decision to be a disciple of the Lord, to follow him, hopefully to live a life of integrity having made that choice, that there's going to be division that comes from that. The first division is probably mostly internal to ourselves. That when we make the choice to be a disciple of the Lord, there's a conflict that can well up within us. I want to do this, but the Lord calls me to do that. I'm attracted to sin, but I'm called out of conversion from sin to holiness. The division that can rise up within ourselves is what St. Paul talks about. When he says that I don't do the things I want to do, and I do the things I don't want to do. How often in our own lives do we feel that sense of division even within our own soul? But to choose to follow Jesus, to choose to be one of his disciples, means that that battle is very real. There's going to be times when we're victorious in it and times when we fail. The continual ongoing of our own conversion is aided by God's grace, but it causes a division within our own selves. The choice to follow Jesus also causes division external to us. That when we choose to follow Jesus, there are certain decisions that sometimes we have to make that can be very uncomfortable in the workplace or school. There can be a division that can be caused because of that. Sometimes, unfortunately, even that division is far more personal than work or school, but sometimes even in our own homes. And the division that can sometimes come about by making that decision to follow Jesus causes a division even amongst spouses. When we think about Jesus bringing peace into the world, we sometimes can cheapen that notion of peace to mean merely an absence of conflict. The peace that Jesus wishes to give is much more than that, richer and deeper. But that peace is more in the world to come than right now. Because the choice to be a disciple of the Lord can cause deep division. In the second reading in the letter to the Hebrews, there's this wonderful phrase that talks about a cloud of witnesses, the saints. One of the things when I was growing up that I'm very grateful for was that we started a habit of reading about the lives of the saints every day. Most days have a saint's feast day, but even on days when we don't celebrate a particular feast day, there are saints who we celebrate on those days, the historical saints. And every morning while we were eating breakfast, we would read from these Lives of the Saints. We had a very thick book in the kitchen, appropriately entitled, of course, The Lives of the Saints. And we would read these stories, and I learned a lot of things about the lives of the saints from hearing these stories. One of the things that I learned about it is that the saints cannot be reduced to the plaster statues in niches in the church. They had real lives. And their real lives and the struggles of their real lives sometimes caused division and conflict. Here's one story, St. John of the Cross. St. John of the Cross lived in a religious community with a bunch of other priests and monks. And in his pursuit of holiness, division came about because those that he lived with did not want to pursue holiness as strongly as he did. And that division and conflict eventually led to him being imprisoned by the priests he lived with. They had a jail cell in a monastery, which is kind of cool when you think about it. But as he lived there in that solitary confinement, the suffering that ensued because of that, it was during that time that he wrote one of the most beautiful pieces of poetry about the spiritual life that's ever been written in the history of the church. There was division and conflict, and yet God brought something beautiful out of it. St. Teresa of Avila is one of St. John of the Cross's very good friends. St. Teresa was a mother superior of a number of different convents around the countryside in Spain. And one of the convents that was far on the outside areas of where she was responsible was having problems. And as the mother superior, she knew that she had to travel there and deal with this conflict. But there was also a conflict interior to herself. It would have been much easier to just have stayed at home. But instead, she knew that God was calling her to travel to this convent and deal with the issue. So one day she got onto her horse, she was riding to this convent, and what came out of the blue was this thunderstorm that just kind of popped up. And there was a bolt of lightning, a crash of thunder, and it spooked the horse. And the horse bucked and threw her off onto the ground, but not just onto the ground, into a huge mud puddle. And as she was laying there in this mud puddle, completely covered in mud, soaking wet, no doubt thinking about how it would have been much easier if she would have just stayed home, she looked up to the sky and she said, "God, if this is how you treat your friends, no wonder you have so few." There was a conflict in herself, a division. Stay home, be faithful to her duty. Another thing I've learned about the lives of the saints is that they all had a past. It's really easy for us to just whitewash their lives. Think about the end product. But there's always a beautiful story about how they got to that point. Some of them have a past that I would not even feel comfortable talking about in a church with children present. Every saint has a past. But when we read their lives and we understand who they are and the choices that they've made, the division that it sometimes has caused, but the choice to be a disciple of the Lord means something else too. It means that every sinner has a future. When we look at the lives of the saints, we can begin to see them sometimes before their conversion. And maybe that can serve as an inspiration to us, that we who still struggle with sin, still divided in our own soul, between choosing sin and holiness can be inspired by the lives of these saints to know that, yes, they had a past, but we have a future. We have a future of conversion, of following the Lord, of allowing a divided heart to become healed, a divided soul to be united with Christ. Jesus uses this really strange and unusual part of what he says to say, I have not come to bring peace, but division. And that doesn't seem to fit with what we know of our Lord, but it does speak to something much deeper. That our hearts, our souls are divided between sin and holiness. But he's calling us out of that, through that division, to something more. Every saint has a past, but every sinner has a future. And we must make that choice to follow Christ, to be his disciple, and to become a saint.